Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5. Well, you'll never guess this morning what I was happy about. I had to take a DVD to Extended Care for their church service, so I was happy about that. But I was also happy about something else. It may sound a little strange, but I saw a Corvette this morning. And it seems like most generally, people that I see driving Corvettes nowadays are usually gray-haired. I think Corvettes are a little too expensive maybe now for the younger generation. I think they're just the price has gone up so much. But this song we just sang there the last phrase, and now I am happy all the day. So I saw this Corvette, and you'll never guess what I was happy about it, that it wasn't mine. I saw that and I thought, I just prayed, Lord, thank you for delivering me from that mentality. That cars, at one point in my life, cars were my life. And so I saw this Corvette, I see this older couple. My first thought is, Lord, thank you. Thank you that it's not my car and that you have delivered me. We just sang about the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and praise God. Now, if you have a fancy hobby car, that's totally between you and the Lord. But I'm just so thankful in my life, cars was idolatry really to me. And so I'm thankful that the Lord has delivered me from that. So we can be happy all the day. Sometimes our happiness may puzzle other people, but that's okay. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 19. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Well, Galatians 5:19, remember we've been looking at the 17 works of the flesh, and then there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. So it's almost double the works of the flesh. So when I saw this combination, I thought, well, I'm going to try taking 2 works of the flesh and then look at a fruit of the Spirit. I didn't want to look at a whole long negative list. It would just get too long and be overbearing. So it's been kind of exciting to me to see the combination here. But anyway, let's start in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the first 2 works of the flesh were adultery and fornication, and then we compared that with the first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. So adultery and fornication, the world talks about those things as if they are really love. Well, they're not love. They're just selfish lust. Then 3 and 4, works of the flesh, uncleanness and lasciviousness. And then we compare that with fruit number 2, which is joy. So people get into all kinds of sin because they think it's going to bring them happiness. And it doesn't. And so we have the fruit of the Spirit, joy. And then works of the flesh, 5 and 6, are idolatry and witchcraft. And we looked at that, and people get into these things that are powerful. And then the witchcraft part also deals with drugs. And they're searching for peace. When someone has an idol, they're searching for purpose, peace in life. And we find that fruit of the Spirit number 3, which is peace. And then works of the flesh 7 and 8 are hatred and variance. And we looked at that last time. And we compared that with fruit number 4, which is long-suffering. And so now we get into another pair of the works of the flesh. Number 9, if you're taking a notes, this is a new one. Number 9, the work of the flesh, emulations. And that's in verse 20, Galatians 5:20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. Now, Strong's Concordance defines emulations as heat, zeal, fervent mind. Heat, zeal, fervent mind. This word is used in Scripture in good sense and in a bad sense. We can have heat, zeal, and fervency in our mind for good things or for bad things. And so obviously in this list, we're talking about heat, zeal, and fervency of mind in that which is wrong. But let's look at it as it was used in a good sense first. So if you hold your place here, let's go to John chapter 2, John 2 and verse 17. This word is actually used in a good sense of the Lord Jesus himself. In John chapter 2 and verse 17, John 2, 17, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the what? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The same word, same Greek word. Remember, the New Testament was written in Greek. So the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Same word as emulations, that heat, that fervency, that zeal. So in this case, Jesus was hot with zeal. He was fervent in mind because the Jewish people were defiling God's house. In this context, let's look back at verse 13, John 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now you notice here, Jesus did not stand up and say, he did not come into this busy temple and say, attention, attention please, I'd like to say something to you, attention. He didn't do that. He didn't stand up and get their attention and said, now folks, remember that in the Old Testament it says that the temple was supposed to be a house of prayer, God's house of prayer. Now, with all of you selling animals in here, does this smell much like a house of prayer? You may say, well, what would a house of prayer smell like? It would smell like incense. The incense was always offered up at prayer time. That's what Zacharias, John the Baptist, did. That's what he was doing when he received the news that he and his wife were going to have a baby. It was John the Baptist. And we see later on in Scripture that the incense comes up before God with the prayers of the saints. So it's a sweet smell to God when we call upon him. And so you can imagine going into the temple and they were selling all these animals in there. Well, it would not smell too nice with all those farm animals, in there. And then Jesus also did not say, well, you know, not only the noise of the animals in here and the smell is disrespectful and it's not a place of peace and quiet, all these animals, but I'm hearing all these coins dropping into your coffers as you're exchanging the money and counting the money. He did not say, listen, this is highly offensive to God, what you're doing here. Some of you are charging outlandish prices for your animals. I'm hearing some of you barter back and forth, and some of you, you're robbing these people. The prices you're asking, it's terrible. You go out to the farmer outside of town, he's not going to sell a lamb for that price. Come on now, what are you doing? And then for those that were trying to barter for lower prices, maybe then it was the going price out there. Listen, what were these sacrifices for? To offer to God. You know, should you, is it right, you know, to gyp someone out of something that's worth a certain amount and then offer it to God as if it's, wow, this, what a deal this was. Is that really right? When you think about these sacrifices are representing Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the sacrifice to come, is it really right to do such a thing? Remember, he drove out both the buyers and the sellers. And so Jesus did not say, he did not stand up and say all these things and say, now, after all that I've said, I'm sure you are ashamed of yourselves, aren't you? So you just quietly pack up your things and get your animals together and just get out of here so that the priests can cleanse the temple properly. Is that what Jesus did? No. He didn't do any of that. He made a whip. Verse 15. When he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Now, can you imagine what that sight was like? You talk about zeal. You talk about fervency. You know, he was not just getting in their face and saying, get this out of my father's house now. No, he was driving them out with the whip. He was overturning the tables. I mean, it'd be like Brother Andrew's open house yesterday. I mean, what would he think if he was looking at all of his gifts and cards and you just went over there and just threw that table right over? I mean, what would he think? Just picture in your mind what Jesus was doing. I mean, there was money flying everywhere. There were animals running out of that building everywhere, and people chasing after their animals to retrieve them. And then the misers trying to gather up all their coins and looking with disbelief at Jesus. And I mean, money was flying everywhere, and animals were running everywhere. And here was someone maybe they had never seen before, and maybe they had seen him before, but they were just dumbfounded. It was like, it wasn't until later they would come and say to him, who gave you this authority? We don't see anyone challenging. They may have, but we're not told of anyone challenging his authority when he was in action. I think they were too astounded. He was full of fervency and zeal. That's the word we're talking about. And so you can see how it can be used in a good sense. This prophecy was given in Psalm 69. If you'd like to turn there with me, Psalm 69 and verse 6. Psalm 69 and verse 6. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the what? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. So, verse 8, Jesus had become a stranger unto his own brethren, the Jews, and an alien unto my mother's children. Jesus' own brothers did not believe in him until after the resurrection. So he was surrounded by enemies, but the zeal of his house. So do we have zeal for God? In this world, do we have a zeal for God? Or are we ashamed? It's a good thing to think about. Let's go back then to Galatians 5:20. Galatians 5:20. This word, emulations, a work of the flesh. This fervency here is not used in a good sense, but in an evil sense. The word emulations is defined by Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary as to strive to equal or excel in qualities or actions, to imitate with a view to equal or excel. Let me read that again. To strive to excel or to strive to equal or excel in qualities or actions, to imitate with a view to equal or excel. Isn't that what we've seen in the rioting the last few weeks? It's like one person tries to outdo the other. They're trying to equal or outdo. I've been watching, trying to listen if they're actually going to arrest any people over these riots, and they have some. One was a lady in Grand Rapids, a young lady in Grand Rapids, and they've arrested her and charged her with inciting a riot and looting. And you may think, really? A young woman was responsible for that? Well, one of them, anyway. But the way they caught her was she was doing a Facebook Live of herself rioting, and they had a the picture there of her. I don't know if she was throwing a brick through the window or trying to break the window with a brick and trying to encourage other people to do likewise. And then I don't know if she was showing it off or just telling it, but about some jewelry, and she was inciting other people to break into these jewelry stores downtown in Grand Rapids, and she boasted about the loot she had gotten, certain jewelry, and I think it said she had a silver something, and she was asking them to, if they could find something else that went with that, and she was telling them what, that if they got into one of those stores to steal it for her and give it to her. Well, she was doing all this on Facebook Live, and so they arrested her. So consider the definition again. Emulations, to strive to equal or excel in qualities or actions, to imitate with a view to equal or excel. And remember, this word also in Strong's Concordance means heat, zeal, fervency of mind. So that's what they're finding, is they're trying to find some of these ringleaders who were trying to break in to the stores and then trying to incite other people to be their equal or excel even what they did. And so they arrested her. They also arrested a 20-year-old man. I do not remember what city this young man was in. I'm thinking it was a city in Pennsylvania, but I'm not positive. It showed a picture of him going to the police station with his dad and mom. He's 20 years old. He looked like a clean-cut young man. But he had incited a riot in that town. And they showed from the pictures that he had gone at a police car. And I think, once again, he had smashed the window of the police car. He, going up there alone at first, smashing it and then encouraging others to do likewise. So they've arrested him. So this emulations, people try to emulate others. They try to imitate them. They try to equal what they are doing, or they try to excel what someone else has done. And you get that emulations going, this heat, this fervency of mind in a group of people, and you have a riot. And we've seen the living proof of this word in the last few weeks. And then also in Galatians 5 here, verse 20, is the twin brother of emulations. It goes on in verse 20, emulations and then wrath. Wrath is defined in Strong's Concordance as passion, fierceness, indignation. It's defined in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary as violent anger, vehement exasperation, indignation. So passion, fierceness, indignation, violent anger, vehement exasperation. You can see that's another twin brother to what's been happening. All these riots, emulations. You know, many times when you witness to a young person and they're in a group, many times they'll give you smart-aleck answers. But if you get one of those young men alone, many times you'll do better. But you get them in a crowd, and they like to emulate one another. And you get wrath stirred up here. So this has been an exciting study for me, just to learn and to grow and see the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit, and how just matching two works of the flesh and one fruit of the Spirit, how we see that using that fruit of the Spirit will overcome those two works of the flesh. And we've seen it time and time, and here's another case, because then we go to fruit of the Spirit number 5, which would be the match to these two, in verse 22, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What's the next one? Gentleness. That is number 5. So matching up gentleness with emulations and wrath. Wow, the perfect cure for those two things. Remember, in Ephesians chapter 5, let's look there for a moment, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. It says, and be not what? Drunk with wine. A person that is drunk with wine is controlled by wine. You can see it. They can't walk with stability. They cannot talk with clarity. It's slurred, their words. Their reflexes are slow. That's why the thorn goes up into the hand of the drunkard. It's not that people that are drunk can't see. It's that their reflexes are slowed down. So they could see a thorn, but they just didn't realize that, hey, that's going on into my hand. I wonder why that is. It's not that they couldn't see the stop sign. They pushed on the brake, but for some reason, the stop sign just slowly went by, and they can't figure out why. Their reflexes are slowed down. So we're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess. We're not to be controlled by it, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. We are not to be filled with alcohol, because that will control us. But we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, and if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, then this fruit of gentleness will be seen in us, in our lives. So remember, emulations means heat, zeal, fervent mind, to strive to equal or excel. Wrath means passion, fierceness, indignation, violent anger, vehement exasperation. But the Holy Spirit fruit, gentleness, means, from Strong's Concordance, defined as usefulness, morally excellent in character or demeanor, gentleness, kindness. I'll read that again. Usefulness. I thought, isn't it strange? These people that riot oftentimes destroy their own part of town. Is that foolish or what? In Chattanooga, Tennessee, when we lived down there a few years, there were riots going on. And I had to deliver prescriptions down in those same sections of the city. And the people who were rioting were burning their own part of town. Does that make sense? No. Gentleness is defined as usefulness. I heard one lady, I may have just read it, but anyway, I saw the picture on a news item, and she was really hot because the people that were rioting in the section, her skin was the same color as theirs. And she's saying, "What are you doing?" And she was saying, like, "I used to believe Black Lives Matter. But," she said, "now I don't." She said, "I'm one of those, but my life doesn't matter to you. My business doesn't matter to you. You've destroyed it." The fruit of gentleness is usefulness. She was just telling him, "Why don't you go out and get a job instead of destroy and loot?" She was of the same skin color, but she had was a partial owner of this business. She was hot. She was angry. Gentleness, usefulness, morally excellent, character or demeanor, gentleness, kindness. Gentleness is also defined by Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary as mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, tenderness. Have you ever heard anyone say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have a quick temper," and just kind of, you know, act like, you know, it's really not that bad. Basically, I'm a good guy. I just have a short fuse. Well, according to the Bible, according to Galatians 5, that a temper, that wrath, that vehement, that emulations, is not a little thing. It's a work of the flesh. And what it should do is greatly humiliate us, shouldn't it? And say, "You know what? If I did that, then I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. I was not controlled by the Spirit, but by the flesh." You know, I'm concerned because being filled with the Holy Spirit, as I've mentioned many times, there are so many books that talk about how to get the filling of the Holy Spirit. And most of them will say, you know, it's like, well, you've got to pray through until you get it. And so what you end up finding is a book that talks about some experience, some like once in a lifetime experience, whatever it may be, and you'll read about all kinds of them. But you know, the funny thing is, you know, a person can have a once in a lifetime experience of some sort. But the fact of the matter is being filled with a Spirit is not some once in a lifetime experience. It's something God wants us to experience every moment of every day. God wants us to be controlled. Now, what would happen if this week I had a just, wow, heavenly experience? You know, I was praying and maybe praying all night. And, wow, I just had this great heavenly feeling and experience. So when my wife gets up in the morning, I say, "Honey, wow, I really believe now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I had this experience last night, and it was wonderful." And so then later on that day, she does something, and I yell at her and get mad at her. I mean, really, really hot and upset. What is she going to think of my grand experience? She's going to say it didn't mean anything. And that's the same thing. You know, people can say, "Well, yes, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I can tell you this wonderful experience I had." Well, you know what? Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's a command. It's a command not to be filled and controlled by alcohol, but to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. What will really have an impact upon our lives and others is if it's a moment-by-moment thing, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So if we find these things rising up, emulations, remember the definitions? Heat, zeal, fervent mind, to strive to equal or excel in qualities or actions, to imitate with a view to equal or excel. Now remember, emulations can be used in a good or a bad sense. Good or bad. We saw the good about Jesus. He had that emulation, that zeal for that which is good, even though he was surrounded by enemies. But in this fruit of the, or in this works of the flesh list, it's used in the bad sense, a zeal for evil. And then wrath, passion, fierceness, indignation, violent anger, vehement exasperation. Listen, if we find those things, any one of these things, or just starting to rise up a little bit in our lives, that's the time to move into action. We ought to immediately pray then, Lord, please forgive me. I just find that this emulation rising up, this heat, this fervency, not for good, but for evil. And Father, forgive me because I'm allowing one-third of me, my flesh. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we're three-part beings. Spirit, soul, and body. And Lord, I don't want the third weakest part of my being, the flesh. I don't want it to rule my life. Father, I yield to the Holy Spirit. I want him to control me. If I'm having those type of emulations and that type of wrath, the Holy Spirit isn't controlling me, and things will only get worse quickly. So, Lord, please forgive me. What I need is gentleness. What I need is the fruit of the Spirit. Even though it may be hard. Maybe you face somebody at work and they do something that really disgusts you. And you know, it might be real easy to quickly just fly off the handle at them. But that wouldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit, would it? Gentleness is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's the time we need to pray. Notice in Proverbs 25 and verse 28. You know, when we find things in our lives that we know displeases God, don't we then search for answers? That's what we should do, right? We should search for answers. Okay, Lord, I know this isn't pleasing you, and I'm not sure why, you know, this or that crops up, but Lord, I don't want to do those things. So we need answers, and the answer is gentleness to these two. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over what? His own spirit is like a city that is what? Broken down and without what? Well, you get a city that's broken down, like in some of these riot sections, it's not good for anything. The stores are burned out. The glass is all broken. The items in there have been looted. They've been stolen. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So just businesses are just getting back going again, and now some of these businesses have been devastated. And a lot of insurance policies do not cover destruction caused by riots. Now these people, they've gone 2 or 3 months without any income, and now these people that are rioting just cost them thousands and thousands of dollars of destruction to their buildings that their insurance will not cover, and they've looted them of their merchandise that was not covered. So that's like us if we have no rule over our own spirit. We are like a city that is broken down and without walls. We're like bankrupt. If we can't control our temper, if we can't control our feelings and our emotions, We're bankrupt. But praise God, He excels in covering bankruptcy. We don't have anything that can fight this, but the good news is the Lord does. And it's gentleness. That's what we need. At that moment, we need to think, wait a minute. I'm not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I'm being controlled by the flesh. I'm letting the one-third of me that's the weakest part of me overrule the two-thirds of me, the inner man that wants to be strengthened by the Spirit and delights in the law of the Lord. So there's the answer for us. Emulations and wrath. People that have a quick fuse, a hot temper. The answer is right here. It's gentleness. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that this can help us. And I pray that this world, remember in Galatians chapter 5, just in closing, let's go back there once again for a moment. But remember, those people whose lives are just characterized by these sins, and you know, there's no remorse, there's never any change. The Bible tells us in verse 21, Galatians 5:21, down near the end, that they which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. You have to realize that, you know, Christians are not perfect. But people whose lives are just characterized by these things year in and year out, and these things control them, well, in many cases, it's because those people are not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit abiding within them. And so we need to be the testimony and not have these emulations and wrath of the evil type, so we can be a testimony to them that they might be saved. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Father, if there are any here this morning that have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would realize that Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, who came to this earth through a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory the third day, proving that his payment was sufficient to wash away all of our sins. And Father, I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, I pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, truly filled, not just seeking for some far-out experience, some once-in-a-lifetime thing that we can boast about. Lord, we don't really need that kind of thing, Father. What we need is an every moment, day-to-day filling, control of the Holy Spirit. We need these fruits to be seen so that people will see these fruits, and just like a fruit tree, desire those fruits and want to be saved or want to grow. So Lord, help us to see there are answers for these works of the flesh, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. Have your way in our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn please to 166.